good afternoon. Everybody's still awake? Great. Today I'm going to be talking about M&E indicators for trafficking and in persons and how that relates to gender and health. So first to start off, I don't have any personal financial relationships to disclose. Just a brief background on trafficking in persons. I'm guessing not everybody in the room is familiar with this. So this is the most commonly cited definition. Trafficking in persons is a very complex and politically charged, often contentious human rights issue. So there are varying definitions. This is one of the most common, and it is very similar as well to the U.S. State Department definition. The three words I'd like to point out in particular, force, fraud, and coercion. So these are the three key points in the definition of trafficking. These must be present in addition to be used for one person to have control over another person for exploitation, with the exception of sex trafficking if the individual is under the age 18. Force, fraud, and coercion do not have to be present. And so the size of the problem, due to the varying definitions, it's quite difficult to have an accurate estimate of the size of the problem. There's estimates that vary from about 500,000 people to about 29 million people who are in a trafficking situation in the world today. And so that poses a lot of problems for monitoring and evaluation, since it is difficult to know actually how many people are trafficked. That's not what our project focused on, the actual prevalence of it, but I just wanted to give you an overview so that you can start to see the challenges with monitoring and evaluation, a population that is by definition hidden. Moving on to the health implications of trafficking in persons, which is often called TIP for short. Here, this initial research by Kathy Zimmerman has found that health implications of trafficking in persons include injuries from physical and sexual violence, HIV exposure, poor reproductive health outcomes. Mental health symptoms were also very common. For example, depression, anxiety, suicide ideation, forced substance abuse. So this has happened with traffickers forcing their victims to use substance abuse, as well as substance abuse that people use as a coping mechanism when they're in that situation. Headaches, fatigue, and weight loss were also very common in this study. What I'd like to point out with this study is that it focused primarily on, actually only focused on women, and that women that were trafficked for sex. So this is a good example of the little research that we do have on trafficking in persons and health is focused primarily on women and sex trafficking. So that leaves out men and boys that are trafficked for sex or for labor, and there is research to show that, especially in some areas, boys are trafficked just as much as young girls are for sex, but also labor trafficking, which is very prevalent in the States as well as many other countries, and that the research is even more lacking with the health implications for labor trafficking. Some examples that may be included in the health effects would be in unsanitary working conditions, long hours, poor ventilation, exposure to chemicals or biohazards, as well as repetitive motions, and any other dangers from various agriculture, fishing environments, as well as sexual violence has been found as well in labor trafficking. So existing gaps and challenges, as I mentioned, most of the research is focused on women in sex trafficking, so we're missing a very large proportion of labor trafficking, boys and men as well. And while trafficking has been gaining increasing international attention, there are serious gaps in the standardization of M&E as it relates to trafficking indicators and health. I already mentioned the lack of standardization in the definition of trafficking, and that adds to the complexity of data collection and measurement. In addition, the general lack of systematic measurement of policy and programming has led to limited availability of data. In addition, each sector provides a small and biased subset of all cases. For example, the criminal justice system and survivor service agencies all have their own narrow perspective on trafficking in persons, and data is not comparable, and it's not usually shared between sectors or across governments. There's also a lack of consensus on what areas are the most important areas to measure at the intersection of health, gender, and trafficking. So in order to begin to address these gaps, USAID requested a consultative meeting and collaborative process to develop a compendium of M&E indicators for trafficking in health. And the goal of this guidance would be a document that program managers and policymakers can use in their attempts to monitor and evaluate trafficking programs, the health sector response to trafficking, as well as the country's response to trafficking in health. So this collaborative process included a consultative meeting that happened last fall in Washington, D.C., and we invited leading experts from the trafficking and health fields. So we had representatives from the U.S. government, USAID, State Department, NIH, as well as UNICEF, and some of the leading international organizations that are working on trafficking, such as the International Organization of Migration and International Labor Organization. So they have some of the biggest organizations that have the most data on trafficking, as well as various NGOs that work on trafficking, and some leading researchers and consultants from top universities in the States as well as abroad. So we brought all these people together for a meeting, and the objectives of that meeting, we first had a little overview of trafficking in health, some of the background, and then we discussed the challenges in data collection and research. It wasn't hard to come up with a lot of the challenges, as I've mentioned a few of them already. And then we moved forward into gaining consensus on the critical areas of measurement. So we wanted to know, what do the experts in the field think are the most important areas to measure at the intersection of trafficking and health and gender? And then finally, we broke into small group work, and this was really where a lot of the bulk of the work was done at the meeting, in brainstorming what indicators, how we can measure those areas that were defined as the critical areas of measurement. And so with this group work was challenging because we've Measure Evaluation has done a couple of indicator compendiums in the past. There's a gender and HIV compendium as well as a violence against women compendium. In those fields, there are already indicators out there. So in those meetings, when we did those meetings, we would arrive with a list of indicators that were already being used in the field, many of which had been tested and already existed. In this case, there were so few M&E indicators that a lot of it was starting from scratch. And so this process of group work to developing indicators had a lot of brainstorming and a lot of ideas of what people wanted to measure. So we left this this meeting with about close to 100 indicators that were suggested, or ideas of indicators. At that point, they were not quite as refined as indicators yet, but there were about 100 that we started with. And then through this iterative process, we also narrowed this down a little bit more. So this is a conceptual framework for trafficking, gender, and health that we've adapted from another researcher that was also at our meeting. This framework is can be found in more detail in the final document, but I've simplified it here just for the presentation so it's a little easier to read. But on the left, you'll see we have recruitment, so that's the stage, and each of these stages have different health effects and health implications. And then we've talked about travel and transit, or I guess we haven't talked about that. I need to mention that travel and transit is not necessary for the definition of trafficking. So we talked about force, fraud, and coercion that are necessary, and often travel and transit does happen, but it is definitely not necessary for it to happen. And that is a common misconception with trafficking, that people think you have to cross the border to be trafficked or at least taken to another place. Individuals can be trafficked in their own communities and even in their own homes. So for example, that could happen if somebody was controlling another person and forcing them to have sex with somebody else for money. If that is happening, they're using force, fraud, or coercion and exchanging money or goods in control of another person. That is considered trafficking, and that could and does happen in people's own homes and communities. So So travel and transit, if it does happen, is another stage in the trafficking process. And during that time, there's often initiation violence and deprivation, deprived conditions there, and those have their own health implications. Under exploitation, that's when a person is in their trafficking situation. There's also often a lot of violence, sexual violence, initiation violence there, perhaps deprivation of food and needed resources, often not having access to health care. Although there has been some research that has shown, there has been some research that's shown that individuals do access healthcare during that exploitation phase, and so that is an opportunity where we can capitalize on if there are their health providers that interact with those people, and if they are able to identify and refer those individuals, that's definitely an opportunity that we want to capitalize on, and we do have indicators based on that in the compendium. Finally, integration and reintegration would be when an individual has gotten out of their trafficking situation, is integrated into the community they currently live in, or is returned to their original community for reintegration. So here are the final areas of measurement that we ended up with after the meeting. We have health sector response, post-trafficking assistance and outreach programs, health status and care received, referrals, and policy. I'll just give you a few examples in the interest of time from the health sector response. For example, number one, we have proportion of healthcare units that have personnel that have been trained to identify and refer trafficked persons. So this would fall under the exploitation phase. If somebody is being exploited and accesses a healthcare unit, this indicator would be helping to measure how the health sector is able to prepare to respond to those situations. And in the final document, we have all the indicators, and we have individual indicator reference sheets that includes numerator, denominator, and considerations and limitations of each indicator and its interpretation, as well as all of the definitions for things like healthcare units and how you would measure training. Areas for further development. These are areas that were discussed at length during our during the meeting and following as well. Many areas that are listed here, we had indicators that were proposed during the meeting. However, due to conflicting research or lack of an evidence base, they were not included in the recommended indicators, but are included in areas for further development. There were other indicators that were proposed that were excluded because the relationship to health was not strong enough for this compendium. So that's another key point that I wanted to make, is the degree to which indicators related to health was one of the most significant challenges of the process. Because trafficking is harmful and has obvious negative health consequences, nearly every indicator could be related to health, but in order to have a narrow focus and have everyone agree on the indicators that we kept, we took a more narrow scope of directly related to trafficking and health in the health sector. So I can give you just an example of an indicator that came up and we have included in areas for further development instead of in the recommended indicators. One was number of community awareness campaigns that were related to trafficking, and this was excluded because some participants pointed out that awareness campaigns have not been shown to be effective in decreasing trafficking, as well as it was not directly related to health. And so these are areas that we really are interested in learning more about and finding the evidence base so that we can show what is linked to decreasing and mitigating trafficking, and then we can develop indicators to continue measuring that. As I mentioned, one of the challenges was the narrow versus wide focus on health. This came up again and again of where we were drawing the line to what to include in the compendium, and we went back and forth with our panel of experts on how to determine what's going to be most useful for this compendium. And we did end up with a much smaller list of indicators in hopes that programs and policymakers can have a very solid, small list of indicators to start with. And then through further development and indicator testing, we can refine those and potentially add to those in the future. I mentioned the lack of existing evidence base to build on already. The ME capacity was also a challenge because we had experts from academics, from universities, as well as NGOs and policymakers that don't necessarily focus on ME in their daily work. So they would want to measure something, and then from the ME side, we would have to have conversations of, well, how are you going to measure that, and how would we define that, and if there's no way that we could measure something, we didn't want to include it in recommendations of what to measure. Maintaining group engagement remotely, so we had one in-person meeting and the rest was done over conference calls and emails, and was difficult at times with people's already overloaded plates that they had. But we really did have a great commitment from our group, and we really appreciate all the work that they put into it. Otherwise, this would not have been possible. And finally, as I mentioned earlier, trafficking is a contentious area, and so we had to make sure that we stuck to what the evidence base is, and we wanted to build on what was out there and not get caught up in any of the broad sweeping generalizations for countries, which countries were recommended and which countries weren't. So this guide is just general guidance, and we left it up to countries and regions and programs to decide which indicators they would select and would be most useful for them. Finally, thank you, and I look forward to your questions in the discussion.